From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming voanews.id.
Listener, welcome back with me, Asmawati Rahman. We will accompany you for the next 60 minutes. In today's edition, we will present some segments to you, beginning from news, commentary, and other interesting information, as well as Indonesian songs. Well, listener, we begin with news.
Here is the news, first the headlines. Indonesian Vice President Ma'ruf Amin says artificial intelligence can help Indonesia become player in Industry 4.0. Shinzo Abe discusses resignation with the US President Donald Trump and Russian President Vladimir Putin. Now the news in detail. Indonesian Vice President Ma'ruf Amin affirmed that artificial intelligence is a solution for Indonesia to emerge as a major player in the Industrial Revolution 4.0 rather than being a market in the era. As quoted by Antara News Agency, Vice President Amin at the Unika Atmajaya University campus in Jakarta on Monday remarked that artificial intelligence is a solution for the country. Hence, it would not only be a market but also a player in the Industrial Revolution 4.0. He affirmed artificial intelligence can be used to develop new business models. The Vice President believes that development in future would be affected by disruption in various sectors of public life. He noted the increased use of artificial intelligence, big data, and information and communication technology will propel the industry to grow not in a linear manner, but exponentially. According to the record of the Central Statistics Agency BPS, 54.1 million Indonesians registered for the population census, which was conducted online from 15 February 2020 to May 29, 2020. As quoted by Antara News Agency, head of the agency Suharyanto, as the September 2020 population census kicked off online on Monday, August 31, stated that number is very large because it is equivalent to almost twice as much as Australia's population. He further said, it is a very encouraging achievement, bearing in mind that this is the first population census conducted online in Indonesia. The census, however, is not yet complete because the 51.4 million Indonesians who took part in the online census account for 19% of the country's total population. The Indonesian Finance Ministry is focusing on three strategies to keep Indonesia from plunging into a recession. Head of the Financial Policy Center of the Ministry's Fiscal Policy Agency, Adi Budiarso, in a meeting with Commission 6 of the House of Representatives, which oversees industry and investment in Jakarta on Monday, stated that the three strategies are accelerating the National Economic Recovery Program and strengthening government consumption as well as public consumption. Budiarso also said, optimizing state expenditure has become important to stimulate the economy. He elaborated efforts are being made to expedite the implementation of the National Economic Recovery Program by improving budget absorption, especially for the program which has been included in the budget execution list, or DEPA. Now we move to the international news. Japanese Prime Minister Shinzo Abe explained his decision to resign in separate calls with US President Donald Trump and Russian President Vladimir Putin on Monday, while also touching on a number of issues involving the countries that remain unresolved. As stated by the JakartaPost.com Monday during his 30-minute phone talks with Donald Trump. Abe thanked him for helping to make the Japan-US relationship the strongest it has ever been. It was Abe's first phone call with a foreign leader since he abruptly announced his resignation on Friday, citing a relapse of all creative qualities, an intestinal disease that can cause stomach pain and diarrhea. Shinzo Abe just a week ago achieved the longest uninterrupted stint as prime minister in the country's history. The European Commission said it would contribute 400 million euros or $478 million to an initiative led by the World Health Organization to buy COVID-19 vaccines, but did not clarify whether European Union states would acquire shots through the WHO scheme. As stated by Reuters.com Monday, August 31, the COVAX initiative aims to purchase for all countries in the world 2 billion doses of potential COVID-19 shots from several vaccine makers by the end of 2021. Tedros Adhanom Ghebreyesus, WHO Director General, and Seth Berkley, head of the Gavi Vaccine Alliance, welcomed the financial support. Tedros said in a tweet, "Big thanks to the European Commission for their contribution to the COVAX facility and for standing firm on their commitment to multilateralism." The Commission said that the European Union financial support will be provided through guarantees. Spain has registered more than 23,000 new COVID-19 cases since Friday, Health Emergency Chief Fernando Simon told a news conference on Monday, suggesting the infection rate had declined slightly from an August 21 peak. As stated by Reuters.com on Monday, Health Ministry data showed 2,489 new cases were diagnosed in the past 24 hours, bringing the total since the onset of the pandemic to 462,858. With a new academic year fast approaching and Spain registering the highest number of cases in Western Europe, Simon sought to assuage fears that schools could turn into vectors for mass contagion. He said if the appropriate safety measures are applied, the probability of transmission is negligible. The last item. India's economy contracted sharply in the 3 months to end of June, official data shows. As stated by BBC.com on Monday, it shrank by 23.9%, its worst slump since the country started releasing quarterly data in 1996. A country is considered to be in a recession if it reports contraction for two successive quarters. India was last in recession in 1980, its fourth one since independence. That was the news from Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with commentary today entitling Improving Discipline of Health Protocols for Economic Recovery. When positive cases of COVID-19 and the number of deaths slowing down globally, the facts that are happening in Indonesia are different. The number of positive cases increases significantly every day. As of Monday, August 31st, the number of positive cases of COVID-19 in Indonesia was 174,796 cases. The death reached 7,417 people. Chairman of the expert team and spokesperson for the COVID-19 Handling Task Force, Professor Wiku Adhisasmito, in his statement on Monday said that the COVID-19 Handling Task Force assessed the spread of the COVID-19 pandemic, which is still happening in Indonesia, with positive cases that continue to increase every day, is due to health protocols that have not been implemented properly and correctly. Professor Wiku appealed for the stakeholders, regional governments, ministries, personnel of Indonesian Armed Forces and the National Police TNI Polri, to carry out Presidential's instruction number 6 of 2020 by enforcing the law in order to make the public being disciplined and wear masks. The Presidential's instruction is aimed at improving discipline and law enforcement of health protocols. Thereby, all stakeholders are instructed to implement important steps to discipline the public, from persuasive approaches until fines and sanctions. Jakarta has the highest spread of positive cases of COVID-19 pandemic, reaching 1,049 cases in just one day on Monday. Based on a report to the COVID-19 Handling Task Force, the high number of COVID-19 cases in Jakarta has occurred in line with the increase in population mobility from increased public and private transportation. Furthermore, Professor Wiku Adi Sasmito reminded that the significant increase in COVID-19 cases that occurred in Jakarta could potentially increase the burden that can be borne by the health workers. The level of the hospital capacity that accommodates COVID-19 patients in Jakarta is not ideal, and this could potentially be a burden to existing health workers. It is unavoidable to increase population mobility and use of the transportation in some areas, while the transition of large-scale social restriction PSBB is put in place. However, an increase in economic activity must also take place by boosting the monitoring of the implementation of health protocols. This time, law enforcement officials must really implement severe sanctions for people who do not wear masks or hang out and do not keep their distance. Now, if the economic recovery is set to be prioritized, the Indonesian people must remember that the uncontrolled spread of COVID-19 will actually hamper the Indonesian economic recovery. That was commentary. I'm Nuka Kusumawati.
Do the following to avoid virus infection when you are traveling. Keep your distance. If you see someone unhealthy, please maintain your distance. The minimum safe distance is 1 meter, but if the person is coughing, then the minimum distance is around 3 meters. Wash your hands with soap, especially if you keep interacting with other people. You can also use alcohol-based sanitizer to kill the germs. Cover your mouth and nose with your elbow or tissue when you are coughing or sneezing. If you are using tissue, throw it away immediately and then wash your hands. Avoid direct contact with living animals and any surfaces that had contacted with animals. Avoid consuming raw or half-cooked meat to avoid cross-contamination. Find medical treatment as soon as possible and then share your prior travel history with the health services if you are experiencing any health problems. From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program.
Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Today in History. I'll begin with September 1st, 1923, where earthquake in Kanto, Japan, happens. The Great Kanto earthquake hit the Kanto Plain on the main Japanese island of Honshu on Saturday, September 1st, 1923. Reports suggest the quake duration was between 4 to 10 minutes. It was measuring 7.9 on the moment magnitude scale, with the focus far below Izu Oshima Island in Sagami Bay. The victims who died and the missing were more than 142,000 people, and about 1.9 million people were evacuated. This earthquake destroyed about 570,000 buildings. Moving on to September 1st, 1961, the first conference of the Non-Aligned Movement happened. 6 years after the 1955 Asia-Africa Conference, the Non-Aligned Movement, consisting of 120 countries, was declared at the movement's first conference in Belgrade, Yugoslavia. The conference lasted from September 1st to 6, 1961. During the meeting, countries that did not side with a particular bloc declared their wish not to get involved in the West-East ideological confrontation. The founders of this movement were five world leaders, namely Josip Broz Tito, the president of Yugoslavia, Sukarno, the president of Indonesia, Gama Abdul Nasser, the president of Egypt, Pandit Jawaharlal Nehru, the prime minister of India, and Kwame Nkrumah, the president of Ghana. I'll end today in history with September 1st, 1963, where the Bogor Agricultural Institute is established. Bogor Agricultural University in West Java, Indonesia, is an agricultural higher education institution which has historically been a formation of secondary and higher education institution for agriculture and veterinary medicine that existed in the early 20th century in Bogor. On September 1st, 1963, the first president of Indonesia, Sukarno, laid the groundwork for campus construction as well as marking the inauguration of the Bogor Agricultural Institute as an independent university. Listener, that was Today in History. I'm Nuka Kusumawati.
Semboyang kami angkasawan RRI, sekali di udara tetap di udara, semenjak 45 tak pernah berhenti, patuh dan setia berjiwa Pancasila.
Setia berjiwa. setia berjiwa Pancasila. Trimba setia landasan kerjanya.
Next, we are going to give you information on My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with My Indonesia today, entitling the UN Security Council passes Indonesia's resolution on safeguarding world peace for women. The UN Security Council, under the Indonesian presidency on August 28, 2020, succeeded in ratifying Consensus Resolution 2538-2020 regarding female personnel in UN peacekeeping missions. This resolution is Indonesia's real contribution to the world peace diplomacy. As quoted on the kemlu.go.id page, Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi said that the Resolution 2538 is the first resolution in the history of the Indonesian diplomacy in the UN Security Council. This is also a form of Indonesia's contribution in improving the role of women as agents of peace, especially in the UN peacekeeping missions. This is an important breakthrough, because for the first time, the UN Security Council has passed a resolution that specifically addresses the role of the world's female peacekeepers. This resolution is also classified as a rare one because it is co-sponsored by all members of the UN Security Council. The resolution initiated by Indonesia was sponsored by 97 UN countries, including all members of the UN Security Council. The extraordinary support from UN countries cannot be separated from Indonesia's consistency in fighting for peace diplomacy and empowering the role of women in peace. Since the beginning of its membership in the UN Security Council in 2019, this is also evidence of Indonesia's active role as a bridge builder, which was successful not only to bridge differences in position, but also to unite members of the UN Security Council. Some of the main elements contained in the resolution are the need to increase the number of female personnel in the UN mission, cooperations in training and capacity building, the establishment of networks and database for female personnel, improving safety and security, providing infrastructure and facilities, especially for female personnel, and UN cooperation with regional organizations. Minister Retno further emphasized that support for this Indonesian initiative was inseparable from Indonesia's diplomacy, credibility, and track record in the UN peacekeeping missions, including the progress of Indonesian female personnel in various UN missions. So far, Indonesian women's peacekeepers have been recognized for their active role in getting closer to local communities in conflict areas, especially in protecting women and children. Currently, the number of the UN female peacekeepers is 5,327, or 6.4% of the total 82,245 personnel. Indonesia is one of the largest contributors to female personnel, with 158 personnel serving in 7 UN missions, namely in Lebanon, the Democratic Republic of Congo, Central African Republic, South Sudan, Darfur, Mali, and Western Sahara. Since 1999, Indonesia has sent more than 570 female personnel to various UN peacekeeping missions. The UN Security Council meeting under Indonesian leadership on August 28 also passed the UN Security Council resolution regarding the extensions of the mandate of the peacekeeping force in Lebanon, UNIFIL, and the resolution of the UN mission in Somalia, UNSOM. Listener, that was My Indonesia. I'm Nuka Kusumawati.
Hello, listeners of Radio Republic Indonesia, wherever you are. I am Armando G. Alvarez, Ambassador of Mexico to Indonesia. I would like to say happy 75th anniversary to Radio Republic Indonesia and send my best wishes to all its members and listeners. Sekali di udara, tetap di udara.
Welcome to the new normal. Now we are facing uncertainties. Uncertain of when the pandemic will end, and also many other uncertainties. Coronavirus pandemic has changed many aspects of our lives. If you want to survive from this pandemic, you should prepare to adapt and live the new normal. In the prediction of the new normal, health and hygiene became the top commodity.
Fear of getting infected makes people keep their health and hygiene more tightly when going outside. There will be sinks everywhere. Hand sanitizer becomes the most wanted goods. People wear a mask everywhere. Always keeps your distance when doing activities. And avoid crowds. Also, you should not make any physical contact, even just for shaking hands. Vitamins will be consumed as many as food. Before traveling, people will have their temperature checked and will not be permitted to proceed if found not healthy. Temperature will always be checked during social activities like at malls, restaurants, or everywhere. It's also possible in near future, people must bring personal health document when traveling, or health tracking system at airports and other transportation terminals can be more practical and efficient. Well then, welcome to the new normal.
From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program.
Bangkitlah dan tersenyumlah. mampu merakit mimpimu.
You're still tuned to Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the World on frequency 3325 kHz and website www.vinews.id. Listener, for the next segment, we will present Indonesian Wonder, which tells about Indonesian tourism and local wisdom.
Welcome back to Indonesian Wonder. Today I'm going to let you know about Embung Manajer. Embung is a basin which is used to regulate and accommodate the supply of rainwater flow and to improve water quality in rivers or lakes. Embung is used by farmers to irrigate land in the dry season. Not only useful for agriculture, but now Embung also becomes a tourist attraction due to its beautiful natural scenery enchantment such as Embung Manajer. Embung Manajer is located in Samiran Village, Selo District, Boyolali Regency. Embung Manajer is located about 20 kilometers from Boyolali City that takes about 45 minutes. The enchantment of the Embung Manajer tourism site is the beautiful panorama of Mount Merapi as its background. Embung Manajer is located at an altitude of about 1,700 meters above sea level. If you visit Embung Manajer, you will be charged 5,000 rupiah for helping conservation funds of nurseries and planting, which is done by local forest farmer groups. Then if you bring a motorbike, you are only charged 3,000 rupiah for parking fee. For those who do not bring motorized vehicle, the journey is then continued by riding an ojek or motorcycle taxi that is ready to take visitors to Embung Manajer site. The fare is 15,000 rupiah for going the uphill road to the site and 10,000 rupiah for the downhill road from the site. From an altitude of about 1,700 meters above sea level, the view to the south is so open. You can see Mount Merapi, which stands majestically. When the weather is clear, the active volcano can be seen clearly with its sandy and smoky peak. On this location, you can capture the beauty of Mount Merapi, even combining photos of the Embung Manajer and Mount Merapi. If the weather is very sunny, you will not only be able to see Mount Merapi, but also other mountains. Mount Lawu on the eastern horizon, on the border of Central Java, East Java, is visible clearly on the sky. Then at the west end, you can see Mount Sumbing in Temanggung, Wonosobo, and Magelang Regencies. In fact, you can also see the highest roof of the Central Java, namely Mount Slamet, with an altitude of 3,528 meters above sea level. That was our segment of Indonesian Wonder. Tomorrow we will meet again with another interesting topic. Goodbye for now.
Hello, listener of Radio Republic Indonesia. My name is Gustavo Ayares, ambassador of Chile to Indonesia. This is a wonderful opportunity to express our congratulations for the 75th anniversary of the radio. And I hope that in the future will be a wonderful future for the listener, for the community that follow this radio. All the best for you. Blessings.
Thank you. kecewa melandamu. Ku ingin hilang sebentar saja, tapi ku tak bisa lakukan itu. Aku tertahan rasa sayang. Maafkanlah ku lupa diri. Hanya kamu yang buat aku luluh selamanya begitu. Takkan pernah
For the next segment, we will present to you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. In our program, Let's Speak Indonesian, Mari Berbahasa Indonesia, we will introduce to you some Indonesian vocabularies and expressions, and we invite you to speak in Indonesian. This program is a cooperation program between the Voice of Indonesia and the Department of Language Development and Language Education of the Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listener, welcome to Mari Berbahasa Indonesia or Let's Speak Indonesian, a radio lesson on Bahasa Indonesia or the Indonesian language that introduces the vocabulary and guides you to converse in Bahasa Indonesia. This program is a collaboration between Voice of Indonesia and the Agency for Language and Book Development, the Ministry of Education and Culture of the Republic of Indonesia. Today's topic is Meminjam Buku, or in English, Borrowing Books. Next, I will give a sample conversation on meminjam buku or borrowing books. At the university library, Kevin borrows some books.
Permisi, Pak.
Ya?
Saya mau meminjam buku ini.
Ada kartu anggota?
Ini, Pak.
After listening to this conversation, I will introduce phrases and vocabulary related to today's themes, namely, meminjam buku, which means borrowing books. I will say the words twice and you can repeat after me. Saya mau meminjam buku ini. Saya mau meminjam buku ini, which means I want to borrow this book. Meminjam. Meminjam, which means to borrow or borrowing. Kartu anggota. Kartu anggota, which means membership card. Buku. Buku, which means book. Ada kartu anggota. Ada kartu anggota, which means do you have a membership card? When you want to express your intention or desire, use the word mau. Mau, which means want. Then if you want to borrow something, use the expressions saya mau meminjam. Saya mau meminjam. Or aku mau meminjam. Aku mau meminjam. Or saya mau pinjam. Saya mau pinjam. Or aku mau pinjam. Aku mau pinjam. All means I want to borrow. Perhaps you notice that the words saya and aku have the same meaning, which is I. Another example, saya mau meminjam bajumu. Saya mau meminjam bajumu, which means I want to borrow your clothes. Aku mau pinjam uangmu. Aku mau pinjam uangmu, which means I want to borrow your money. In addition to the word mau, mau, which means want, you can also use the word ingin. Ingin, which also means want. So you can say saya ingin pinjam. Saya ingin pinjam, which means I want to borrow. Or aku ingin pinjam. Aku ingin pinjam, to borrow something. Besides the expression, you can say boleh saya. Boleh saya, or boleh aku. Boleh aku, which means may I. Example. Boleh saya pinjam bajumu? Boleh saya pinjam bajumu, which means may I borrow your clothes? Or boleh aku pergi? Boleh aku pergi, which means may I go? If you agree or allow it, you can say ya. Ya, which means yes. And if you reject or don't agree with it, you can say maaf. Saya akan memakai baju itu. Maaf, saya akan memakai baju itu, which means sorry, I will be wearing that shirt. Before ending, mari berbahasa Indonesia or let's speak Indonesian today. For more details, let's listen to the example conversation one more time.
Permisi, Pak.
Ya.
Saya mau meminjam buku ini.
Ada kartu anggota?
Ini, Pak.
Well, listener, that was today's edition of Mari Berbahasa Indonesia or Let's Speak Indonesian. Hopefully, it can be useful for those of you who want to know more about Bahasa Indonesia or the Indonesian language. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. We will meet again tomorrow with another different topic. Thank you for listening. Sampai jumpa.
99% jatuh cinta. Ku menunggu tanda-tanda cinta itu darimu agar ku yakin 100% padamu. Maaf kau terlalu lama menunggu, bukan ku sengaja ingin menggantung, tapi ada sesuatu di dada yang gak bisa terucap dengan mudah. Cinta kurang 1%.
You still tune to Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the World on frequency 3325 kHz and website www.vinews.id. Next, we inform you about Indonesian music.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, welcome back to Music Corner. Today we present a mellow song entitled Zapin Melayu to be sung by Rika Ayunes. The song Zapin Melayu, which was composed by Bai Juri Tarsa, tells a story about one of provinces in Indonesia, namely Bangka Belitung, which is well known with Negeri Serumpun Sebalai. Its lyrics describe Bangka Belitung as a region which is rich in Malay cultures. The island is so beautiful and also has abundant agricultural and marine products. At the end of the song, we are invited to visit the region. The song that has some middle tempo music is accompanied by typical mellow musical instruments such as accordion, marwas, and gambus. Let's listen to the song Zapin Melayu sung by Rika Ayunes. Enjoy the song.
Listener, thank you for listening our English program on Voice of Indonesia through shortwave on frequency 3325 kHz. Please give your suggestion and criticism through Facebook fan page The Voice of Indonesia, Instagram voice.of.indonesia, Twitter @VOIIndonesia, And also send your email to voi@voinews.id.